Yesterday, I went to an iftar at a friend's home, and I got home a bit late. Little did I know that in the time that I spent enjoying the company of my friends that evening and catching up, a storm was brewing in New York that placed me at the center of what appears to be a coordinated attack on New York City's First Lady, Rema Douagi. The story went something like this. Rema illustrated an essay that I wrote, and she must therefore be an anti-Semite merely for this professional, at least 3 degrees removed, proximity to me. Mayor Mamdani then held a press conference in which he denounced me using adjectives like reprehensible, and he explained accurately that Rema and I do not know each other, have never met, and have had no direct or indirect interactions. Unfortunately, that was the only accurate part of what was said. So I want to clear a few things up for Mr. Mamdani, for his supporters and detractors alike, for the reporters, for my readers, for my own friends, and for the public in general. So let me start with the essay itself. It is not, in fact, an essay. It is a short story, and I am not the author. The story is entitled A Trail of Soap. It was written by Diana Slayeh, a brilliant young woman in Gaza who survived and continues to try to survive Israel's genocide and unceasing attempts at ethnic cleansing of Palestinians from their homeland. Diana is one of a couple dozen young people whom I mentored over the course of 8 writing workshops that I conducted in Gaza in 2004 during 2 trips that I made to Gaza in the middle of Israel's relentless bombing campaigns to obliterate Gaza. It was not an easy feat for these young people to gather for the workshops, but they spent hours walking, cycling, or taking donkey carts to get to our meeting places for the writing workshops. There were times even when their lives were at risk to get to and from the meeting places. And I say this because it matters. Because one wonders why would they risk their lives to get to writing workshops. Israel had reduced their lives to rubble. Israel had reduced their dreams and their ambitions to mere daily quests for sufficient sustenance. Israel had interrupted, maybe even dismantled, their psyches with ineffable trauma. They had stripped them of the most basic human dignities. In fact, the particular short story in question chronicles the details of the first time that Diana had to contend with using a public toilet that was shared by hundreds of women who walked out of their tents and waited in line, waited in filth, in misery, just to use the bathroom in the morning. So these young people risked dangers that most of us cannot begin to fathom just to attend writing workshops because it was a singular outlet for intellectual exercise and creative expression. They came so they could be reminded of their potential. They came to feel that they are more than creatures seeking food and water and shelter, that they have a place in the world, that they have a voice, a relevance, something to contribute. They came to touch the lives that they thought they might still have, even if it was just for a few hours. It is important that you know this about the story that Rema Douagi illustrated, because it has been my honor and my privilege to know these young people, to have instigated, compiled, translated, and with my friend Huzama Habayeb, edit this bilingual collection of 18 short stories by 18 beautiful, courageous individuals who deserve to be heard, to be read, to be protected. I hope Rama likewise feels the same honor and privilege to have brushed up against them. Their book is called Every Moment is a Life, Gaza in the Time of Genocide. And let me take a moment to thank the Zionists for this bit of publicity for the book. But moving on, I want to speak about this accusation of anti-Semitism against me, and also about the nature and requisites of racism in general. At the most basic level, I'll start with the word Semite. Unlike the white Ashkenazi Jews attacking me, I am an actual Semitic person. Semitism is just another part of our identity that they have stolen. Zionists have dispossessed us of our homes, our heritage, our land, our ancestral cemeteries, our orchards, our artifacts, our books, archives, photos, resources, and so, so much more. They wear our skin, literally, from their famed skin bank, which they've built from the mutilated bodies of our martyrs. And they wear our skin figuratively in the indigenous stories they have appropriated, the culinary and sartorial heritage that these European Jewish supremacist colonizers claim as their own. So I will address instead anti-Jewishness and the nature of racism in general. Because the most fundamental characteristic of racism, in fact, the primary and maybe only prerequisite for any kind of racism, is a power gradient. It's a power differential that facilitates the transfer of abuse and oppression from those with power against those without power. Thus, racism is unidirectional. It can only flow from those who have power. The mistrust or hatred even that occurs in reverse is something else. It is the most natural reaction to the sustained systemic abuse, oppression, and violence from those who deem themselves superior, better, divinely favored, and so on. For example, the sniper who shot my friend Jihan's 3-year-old daughter, Noor, shattering both her tiny legs while she was in her mother's arms in Gaza, is a hateful, racist ghoul. I understand that's one of the things I've been criticized for saying, and I double up on it, frankly. But the rage, the disgust, even hatred that Jihan or I feel toward that sniper is not racism. It is not anti-Jewishness. It is not anti-Semitism. Nor are her feelings toward the tank operator who blew out the back of her son Arab's head, making her fingers sink into his brains when she tried to pick him up. Our feelings or words in response to 78 years of this barbaric colonial violence are not reprehensible, they are not anti-Semitic, and they are not anti-Jewish. In fact, despite everything they have done to us, despite the fact that the overwhelming majority of Jews, both inside and outside of Israel, support this Zionist carnage and domination, we still have the tender human sense to recognize those Jews, however a minority they might be, who do not support Israel, and to embrace the far smaller minority who are anti-Zionist, in fact, people like Ilan Pape, Richard Falk, Mark Perlmutter, Aaron Mate, Katie Halper, Max Blumenthal, Nituri Karta, the Jews who expend their skills and labor to expose Jewish supremacist Zionist criminality. We have kept our humanity despite the unceasing and layered violence against us. The feelings we have of pain, rage, contempt, or hatred, coupled with the impotence to make the suffering stop, is what we call in Arabic qahr. It is a reaction to the kind of violent racism that one does not have the power to meaningfully alter or alleviate. It is important that you understand the difference, Mr. Mamdani. Israel, and by extension Israelis, since, as we're constantly told, they're the only democracy in the region, have destroyed, shattered, and robbed my family of everything. They have done the same to every Palestinian family, no matter where they are on this planet. They have committed a genocide in full view of the world. In the wholeness of its blood and gore, its apocalyptic horror, its generational injury, and its moral harm to all of humanity. No words can adequately capture the evil I have witnessed or experienced at their hands. I do not have sufficient language to describe what they have done to us, what Gaza smells like, feels or looks like up close now. But it is the kind of knowledge that alters one's life and makes you understand that the very least one can do is to speak truth to power, to have the courage of one's convictions, to exercise the privilege of having a voice, however muted or shadow banned it might be, to speak forcefully for those who are defenseless against hateful colonial state violence. That is all the power I have, and I will continue to use it so long as I breathe. I do not have the power to materially change our condition or even to harm our tormentors, but they do have that power, and they use it daily against us all. In my case, it has meant that I and my family, in addition to being dispossessed, exiled from our homeland, have been fired from our jobs, cancelled, marginalized, disinvited, and otherwise curtailed our livelihoods. They have used their power to persuade leading politicians to publicly disparage me. You are not the first, Mr. Mamdani. Zionist billionaires, South Australia's premier, one of my own foreign publishers, journalists, UPenn University president, and members of the Board of Trustees, and many other powerful people preceded you in attacking me for daring to not mince words or self-censor when I speak of the demonic forces that have been wreaking havoc on our bodies, our lives, our children, our very place in the world. But you are the one who has compelled me to respond like this. No one has a right to criticize what we say about or how we describe those who've set up sexual torture camps like Sde Teman, where over 10,000 Palestinians who were kidnapped from their homes in Gaza are being starved, beaten, raped, mutilated, and tortured as I speak. No one can tell me how I should speak about the people who forced my proud grandmother into a bug-infested shack so foreign Jews could live in her Jerusalem home. No one will tell me what to say about the Israelis who set our anguish to music and made TikTok trends from the mangled bodies of our babies. So, Mr. Mamdani, I was disappointed to hear what you said, but the truth is I'm not mad at you, and I strangely am not taking it personally. I did not have the same visceral reaction that others had to condemn you. My overriding impulse was to correct and educate. In that spirit, and in the time-honored tradition of Arab or Muslim aunties offering unsolicited advice, I would like to encourage you to do the following. Number one, when you feel pressure of powerful people asking you to condemn someone or something, just pause and gather information so you can construct a full picture from which you can then make a moral decision. Not a politically expedient or convenient decision, but a moral and ethical one. Because ultimately, that is what New Yorkers saw in you when they elected you against all odds to lead them. Number two, in making such a decision, always be aware of the power dynamics and try to never condemn those without power or with lesser power as a reaction to pressure from those with tremendous power, those with access to wealth, media influence, political positions, and so on. I offer these words in the spirit of this holy month, coming to a close now, and I offer it from a personal and collective Palestinian wound that opens wider with every new assault, with every moment of violence, denial, marginalization, demonization, denigration, diminishment, humiliation, theft, appropriation, dismemberment, trauma, and dispossession poured on us every day of every year in one way or another. Lastly, and separately, I want to congratulate you on the work you have done and continue to do for the working families in New York. I have watched with admiration how you centered municipal workers as the heroes in every snowstorm, how you reimagined childcare as a right for every working family and as a social responsibility for everyone. These are things worthy of respect and admiration. But in this instance, you have erred. You succumbed to forces that seek to pick away at you, at your talented, beautiful wife, and at your work, clawing harder with each apology or concession you make. If you are not careful, they will siphon your soul before you even realize it. I wish you well, Mr. Mamdani. If you or Rama are readers of novels, especially historic fiction, I would love to send you a stack of my books. Because literature, art, music, these are the most profound landscapes where humans can meet each other across geographic, generational, linguistic, racial, and cultural borders. And let me close this sincere message with the hope of glory to our martyrs and victory to every nation, every individual anywhere today fighting against the tyranny